This is a Channel Africa podcast. You can also get Channel Africa on satellite, PAS 10, DSTV Audio Bouquet 802, and OpenView Bouquet, Channel 628.
Now, with the world going electric, the demand for minerals like lithium, cobalt, nickel, manganese, and graphite is increasing. This is according to Oscar van Antwerpen, director and founder of Minrom. Renewable energy is set to reach 20% of South Africa's power. Therefore, efficient battery storage is vital to combat the energy crisis. To speak to us further on this, we're joined on the line by Oscar van Antwerpen. Very good to have you with us this afternoon, and a warm welcome to Africa in Business. Perhaps it starts right here with the role that battery minerals like lithium, cobalt, nickel, manganese, as well as graphite play in the transition to renewable energy as well as electric mobility.
Definitely, and listeners, yes, I think it's a prudent question. One cannot build these batteries that you need to transition into a cleaner renewable energy state if you don't have these specialized items. About 5 years ago, 6 years ago, we did look at lithium, cobalt, nickel, manganese, and graphite. Was not a very serious eye, and the transition and development in the technological space has actually created a major demand for these minerals, which were never really regarded as important. And obviously now, these minerals are very sought after, important, and one of the building blocks of the new technology that's going to support renewable energy storage and also new materials development into a market that is developing, and also a science that's developing and a new form of metals.
And how does the demand for battery minerals impact the adoption as well as the affordability of renewable energy technologies, and also let's add electric vehicles to that mix?
Well, that's a good question, because I think at this point of time the demand is quite constricted. There's a couple of countries that has a very strict control on these type elements and these minerals. Some of these jurisdictions, for arguments like the DRC, it's quite difficult to trade in the DRC. We have a lot of social problems with mining of some of these minerals in the DRC and other countries, which is not so well regulated. And I think that also causes a lot of pressure on the trading and also the expansion of the market, and it puts a lot of pressure on the companies to actually start implementing proper rules and regulations to make sure that these minerals are actually mined sustainable and also in a humanitarian-friendly manner. So that puts a lot of constraints. So the DRC and some of these countries do contain a lot of these minerals, and we have to start developing into those countries, and that's the type of regulations that one will have to put in place. But as the minerals become more abundant on the market, one would expect the price of these batteries to improve into a more cost-effective fabrication and supply to the market. It's making it more affordable for more people to actually own storage devices to tap into the natural energy and to store these electricity into more affordable battery packs and units.
And why should consumers care about the developments in the battery mineral mining industry? How does it, I guess, also relate to technological innovation and environmental sustainability? That's basically a two-in-one there for you.
Well, I think it's, if you look at all the households in South Africa, if you can put a solar panel on all of the roofs and affordably give a storage unit for all of the houses to actually take up a storage capacity to hold the natural energy which can be harvested, either wind or sun, then it makes a big difference on the environment, because then we don't need to burn so much coal, you know, in the power generation cycle. So that is the immediate effect. Vehicles, emission control, that is a big effect. All your technological advancements that you can get with lighter, more efficient batteries, longer lasting batteries. So yes, there's a major drive into the sustainability. Also, it's more friendlier metals than cadmium and some of the heavy trace metals. It's easier to recover these metals. It's easier to scavenge these metals out of the used product and to recycle them. So the impact, the general impact on the environment is going to be better in that way.
And in what ways has the need for minerals, such as manganese or cobalt, nickel, graphite, evolved in recent years?
I think it's evolved quite a lot in the sense that the market is just sold. About 10 years ago, you hardly saw electric vehicles. If you're now going to Europe and into the developing countries, 50% of the vehicles are electric vehicles. So the demand has definitely escalated massively to try and build out these electric vehicles, market storage capacity, electricity supply, harnessing of wind and solar. So these advances need storage capacity. And the storage capacity that is required is also evolving. And with this, you get a drive into the technological sphere and innovative sphere. And it's just a fourth industrial revolution taking place. Technology drives technology. And I think we've been catapulting into a whole new domain of advancements.
I mean, it's quite clear, as you said, it's a new domain, lots of advancements. The technology has changed, the solutions have changed. But what are the challenges being faced within the industry, as well as the opportunities that exist within the battery mineral mining industry?
I think the biggest challenge is the securing the source of the material and the minerals that is being mined to ensure that there's a steady flow of these minerals into the market, and more importantly, to do it in a sustainable manner, environmentally friendly manner, and then also to do it in a humane manner where one can actually look after the communities surrounding these mines and these facilities, that they actually also benefit out of the process.
And how does Nimron, as a company, address the growing demand for the battery minerals through geographical, perhaps consulting services and the sustainable practices that you put forward?
That's a good question. Thank you for that. We've been working in Africa as a rule, and we have now become global consulting services. And we work as far as Europe and South America, the UAE. So we basically work across the world. And we're becoming quite specialist into the graphite market. One of our flagship projects, the Autumn Cross project, is probably the biggest graphite project in the world, delivering very high-grade material to the battery industry. But I think on the long-term sustainability of the industry will be resting with the big powerhouses in the economy or in the world economy to try and ensure that there's a constant steady supply stability in those regions and that there's a constant supply of these minerals into the market.
Well, we'll leave it at that for this afternoon. Certainly a burgeoning market and a lot there to be explored. But perhaps before I do let you go, I'm quite interested in the strategies that you employ because responsible resource development is quite important. Issues of environmental preservation are important. So you really are stewards in that department. And also issues of social responsibility. What are the strategies that you put in place during your exploration and your extraction processes?
I think it's quite simple. We just have a very high ethical code by which we work. We work according to the world best standards, and we work for listed entities. And if there's projects that do not subscribe to these requirements and upkeep those requirements, we just don't work for them. That's as quite simple as possible. So we do not get involved into projects which is not adhering to the best standards.
And your footprint, how big is your footprint?
Our footprint is basically all about Africa, all Central Africa, Southern Africa, Northern Africa. That's our footprint, but we work as far as far as the aeroplane can take us, we work.
I like that. As far as the aeroplane can take you. All right. Well, thank you so much, May. If there are any places where aeroplanes don't go, may those routes be opened up. And I'm sure we'll find you there too. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Have a nice
day. Have a good one. That's Oscar van Antwerpen. He's director and founder of Minron.
That podcast was courtesy of Channel Africa, the Africa Perspective.